Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy, another week of No Jesse's on the road in Fresno. But I do have my guest who was on time. His mommy dropped him off.
My mommy dropped me off.
Yeah. Ryan Talmo, everybody.
Yes. Hey. Glad to be here.
If you haven't heard him, you're probably not on Facebook.
So sad. So sad.
I almost choked myself on the...
Really just taking your headphones off?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to leave yours on?
Yeah, because I like to hear my voice.
You like to hear? I don't like my voice.
I know.
So you're in town, and figured we'd have you on. You know,
appreciate it.
You come down here quite a bit. You started down here, correct?
Yes. I played with it more down here. I took it more seriously
down here in L.A. In L.A.
Yeah, but I used to go to the Blarney Stone.
Okay.
And
on Sunday nights.
Yeah, and then the store mics. I think that was on Monday.
Yeah, back in the day. So how long have you been doing it then?
About 4 years.
Okay.
So, but really took it seriously in L.A.
Okay.
So.
And you moved to L.A. for comedy?
For filmmaking.
Okay.
Filmmaking, I need to get away from an ex-girlfriend. So,
all right.
Yeah. That she still lives here.
Okay.
So.
You guys didn't have a good breakup, I take it?
It was a terrible breakup.
Okay.
Yeah. She grew up actually just like up the street. So this whole place is very reminiscent of my past.
Oh, perfect. Well, let's bring her into the studio.
Oh, is she here? She's here? Shit. She's engaged too. So.
That'd be a first.
I haven't seen her in like 3 years. So. But, yeah, it was, yeah, this is it's always fun to come home to San Diego.
Yeah, it seems like you come down almost close to once a month.
Yeah, I try to. I mean, whenever someone books me, it's like, yeah, I'd love to come down. And,
okay.
And it's weird because I spent the holiday season with my family. I haven't seen my family since last Christmas.
Okay.
So
you don't see them when you come here?
No, not really. Okay. They come down with another comic or I take the train down or whatever, and I don't really want them to interact with my other family of people.
Have they seen you do comedy?
When I first started.
Okay.
Yeah. I invited my mom out last night to Winston's.
Like, oh, I think I saw that, yeah.
And then she didn't come out.
She didn't come.
No. She had something else going on in, like, San Marcos, and I just brought two friends.
Yeah. You had a couple of people there.
Yeah. It's a bringer show, right?
Yeah. Hopefully. So what other shows did you do this week?
This week I did... What did I do this week? Well, I do a weekly podcast up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
The I'm Burger podcast I do with Dave Berger. Comics been doing it for like 25 years.
Comedy or the podcast?
The comedy.
Okay.
He's on the wall and everything. He's actually had a lot of, he's done a lot of comedy. I have, not done as much as he has. So, I did that and then I was at, what did I do? On Monday I was at a place called the Universal Bar and Grill.
Okay.
And it's one of my
home Sundays you do the Liquid Zoo.
I do
right?
the Liquid Zoo every Sunday.
Okay.
And I do the Universal Barn Girl like twice a month.
Okay.
I run a show there. But other comics run shows there too. But I'm at the Liquid Zoo literally every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I bring up 45 comics.
We have usually 30, 35 at Winston's.
Yeah.
What are the time? What?
7 minutes each.
Oh, okay. So it's
if it's a light night, then everyone gets like 10 minutes each. But we get a huge crowd coming in.
Oh,
so, yeah, not huge, but like 5 to 10 drinkers will come in. It's a very small, tight bar.
I'm thinking huge, like 100. You get 5 to 10 drunks.
Well, yeah,
that's huge to you.
It's, well, for a bar in the valley, it's pretty big. It's people that will listen and drink and buy you a drink after your you know, crappy set for most of those comics because they're working on stuff.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, it's such a shitty set. And then, some bar fly would just buy you a drink.
Okay. So I'm not really, I've only been up to LA once. So where is, like, how far from, like, the Comedy Store is the Valley area?
Far. Not really. And nothing's far in LA. Like, San Diego's really sprawled. I think San Diego's more sprawled out than, I don't know how you guys bounce from show to show.
Right.
But LA, I mean, it's over the mountain kind of thing. So from the Liquid Zoo, it will, if there's no traffic whatsoever, take you like 15, 20 minutes from the store.
Right.
Cause a lot of comics do that. They'll be like, I'm at the store. I'm just going to set in. I'll be at the zoo like at midnight. I'm like, okay. And they'll be there like in 20, 25 minutes.
Okay.
If it's the middle of the day, like rush hour, it'll take you like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Just
really?
Because of traffic. It's awful. So.
And you said that the metro system
metric.
Is better in LA than it is here.
From what I recall, I used to take the trolley to Padres games.
Okay.
And that took forever.
All right.
Cause I used to live in Mission Valley.
So they kind of avoid the traffic, though, when you take the...
Yeah, because the Red Line is a subway system. So it'll take you to North Hollywood, and that ends in downtown. And if you time it, it's a 23-minute ride.
Okay.
And then if you drive it, God knows.
Right.
Especially right now with the protesters.
Most people don't use the metro system, I would take it.
Because it's L.A. Everyone has an ego. And so
right.
Nobody. I mean, I lived with the car my whole life until I got towed 2 years ago for not paying parking tickets.
How much in parking tickets did you owe?
$1,000.
Okay. So
yeah.
Is that the point where they tow?
They towed me the first time around, and I actually, San Diego plays a role in all my parking tickets for some reason. I woke up, and I had no car, and I had a show in San Diego that day. And it was actually at, I think, Till 2.
Okay.
It was at Till 2. And I was like, I gotta get my car back. I can't go down to San Diego without my car. And so I paid out $500 and $200-some-odd out of the towing yard to get my car back.
To do Till 2.
This is Till 2, yeah.
So I think really, that's the most anyone's
really
paid to do Till 2.
Really, really dedicated.
I need
for
that
my
free
time.
Pizza.
And oh, I missed the pizza, though. And I owed another $500 in, you know, payments.
Mm-hmm.
And I I decided not to pay those payments off. And then they found my car again, and they towed it. And I was like, fuck it. So they
so basically
my car.
You just threw away $700.
Yeah, but I had a car for like 2 more months.
Okay.
That was nice.
So, I mean, do you have to pay the money back, or they just keep your car?
They kept my, I mean, it's been 2 years, so they've kept my car. They keep asking for pay up. I'm like, you have my car. I don't need to pay you anything.
Right.
The car's gone. It's auctioned. It's stripped. Whatever happened to it, it's done with.
Okay.
They took my mic stand and my mic and whatever else was in my trunk. But whatever. It's gone. It's been 2 years. I've evolved.
Yeah.
I don't need any more.
So you think it's strictly ego? Because basically everyone in New York uses
the train. Yeah, right. The subway. I mean, because you have to, because it's really hard to get around with a
car.
Well,
it seems like it is in LA.
7 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah, in LA, but it really is an ego thing where people just don't want to walk anywhere.
Okay.
I do like walking. I mean, I've walked from East Hollywood to the Comedy Store once.
And how far is that?
2.5 miles.
Okay.
I got off of work, and I was like, screw it.
What took you, like, what, an hour?
Hour and a half.
Okay.
Just pop in your headphones and just walk. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
I do a lot of walking myself.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not that big a deal. Because you live in the college area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you walk around the bars and all that kind of stuff in the area. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. So how'd you like growing up in San Diego?
I grew up in Rancho Penasquitos, and so that whole suburban lifestyle, I just didn't like it.
No?
I always loved the city as a kid. And so when I graduated high school, my goals, I always wanted to move to like downtown.
Okay.
Just, like, live in it.
Right.
And eventually when I moved out of my mom's house, I moved in with a couple in Mission Valley right by Costco. And that's like the urban meets suburban, I guess, in Mission Valley. And I liked that a lot. And then they moved to Tierra Santa, and I was like, oh, God. And so I went right back into suburbia. And I didn't like suburbia. So moving to L.A., just kind of like being in the middle of, you know, craziness.
But isn't the valley more nature than?
No.
No. Okay.
No. It's dirty.
Okay.
It's like New York laid flat.
Okay.
It's just bad planning.
Okay.
So there's a lot.
Why'd you choose to move there? That's
cheap.
Okay.
We have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, like $1,700.
Okay.
So it's just cheap.
Yeah. And you live with other comics?
I live with two girls, not comedians.
Okay.
So they keep me insane. Or insane, I guess. If I live with comics, that would be insane. I'll go insane.
So you've never lived with a comic?
No, I can't.
All right.
I can't. It's hard. Do you live with comics?
I used to live with a comic.
Okay.
Until he moved up to LA.
Oh, Renee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's just too much ego in the room kind of thing to me. And for me, it's cool to see everybody, getting out of my house.
Right.
It's like, I like to use my house as kind of like somewhere I can compress and not be around people I'm competing with all the time.
So you have friends that aren't comedians then?
I have a few, not many.
Not many.
Like the two you saw last night.
Yeah.
And then, my roommates.
Right.
And then,
have they seen you do comedy?
My roommates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. They go to a lot of my, I've been running a show for like almost a year and a half up there called Performing Under the Influence, where comics get drunk.
Okay.
And they like to go out there and watch comics kill themselves.
Yeah.
So they go to those shows. They go to a few other shows I do, but not as much.
Yeah.
We all have different lives. So
right.
We don't really support each other, I guess.
Well, I lived with a guy for a year and a half that never came to one show, so.
Oh, you live with a guy right now that's never...
Well, no, I just moved into my own place.
Oh, you got your own place now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good for you.
It's tiny.
That's good.
It's a studio, but it's mine.
I live in a loft, so I don't have anyone... I have a loft with no walls. It's just basically a staircase taking me up to this room that's above the family room. So if the girls bring a boy over, I get to hear and see everything. So,
and they don't care?
Nobody cares. It's a very open, very...
Wow.
That's how the girls are. They're very open people. There's just a lot of alcohol and drugs in the house, and so...
What kind of drugs?
Just weed.
Okay.
I mean, every once in a while, someone brings coke, and I'm like, eh, just keep it downstairs.
Right. Do you bring ladies to the loft?
I bring a few ladies to the loft in my younger years of... I've lived there for 4 years, my younger years, so when I first moved there. So in my first 2 years, I brought some women upstairs.
Okay.
Now it's just... It feels sad, because there's a bed on the floor... It's my desk and my computer.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay.
How are you?
31.
Oh, you're 31, okay. But you have your own place, so
yeah.
You're older than me. You're more mature than me.
Yeah, but you get to watch women do dudes.
Yeah, well, that's I can watch it on porn or some of that, so.
Yeah, but it does no rush for you anymore?
No, I mean, I've seen it and heard it and been around it.
Are they attractive?
They're very attractive women, yes.
All right.
One's half Japanese, half white, and the other one's half Japanese, half Filipino.
Do you talk about this on stage?
Not really.
No?
No.
Just a conscious effort to respect their wishes, or?
Yeah. Well, no. It's just I don't have any cool stories yet.
Okay. So it's just normal sex, then? They're not going...
Just normal... I mean, I will bring it up to them if we're drinking a lot, what they do. So.
Okay. And they don't care?
They don't care at all.
All right. Well, we got more of the sex capades of Ryan Tamil in 3 minutes. Talk to me.
WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment, Ryan Tamil. So you said you started out here. What was your first show that you did out here?
My first show I did out here? Well, I was doing the mics in...
Well, what was your first open mic?
My first open mic was Barney Stone, Dallas.
Okay, on a Sunday.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night, yeah.
All right.
Do
you remember who else was there or anything about this?
Russell Hicks was there.
All right.
I love Hicks. Kyle Ray. I've known Kyle Ray since high school.
Okay.
Oh, middle school, something like that.
All right.
Yeah, we know each other because we both basically, yeah, grade school through Rancho Penasquitos. Yeah, Hicks was there. Kyle Ray was there. Renee was there.
I was probably there then.
Probably you were there.
Because I was roommates with Renee back then, too.
Okay, so. I just remember we had a burrito bit about peeing and holding a burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
classic caster.
So I remember that. Dallas was hosting, and I was, like, fucked up. I was just really shit-faced.
Okay.
I think an old friend from high school came out or something like that and just gave me shots, like, left and right.
All right.
And so I was like, oh, God. And then I think it was, like, that's a shitty set. This is terrible. Of course it was. And then I just started going to Comedy Store stuff, and then I kind of bonded with Big Mike up north, through Nick Flair.
Okay.
Because, I wanted to start getting booked down in San Diego and doing the store and Madhouse.
Okay.
And, Nick Flair told me, just go to Big Mike, you know, and that was my first bookings was through the store and.
All right, like doing the Tuesday shows?
Does shitty shows.
Yeah.
The talent show shows, pretty much.
Right.
Just a bunch of people that can bring people.
Yeah.
And then he started using me because I can bring people, because this is like my home base in a way, to the point that I just kind of gave up on...
Were people still coming to support? No.
I got like two or three... In the beginning, I did get a lot of people, like 10, 12 people coming out.
Good.
You know, it's like, oh my God, Ryan's doing comedy. And then, you know, it just dwindles down to like a person.
Right.
To the point like, just tell me when you're big.
Yeah.
You got like an album coming out or you're
right.
performing at Spreckles, then I'll probably check it out.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. So, but I mean, and then I just kind of evolved and up in LA just doing more and more bar shows. And then that's what I just kind of falling in love with more than doing club shows.
Okay.
So,
what makes them different?
Just, it's more, it's just dirty. You're fighting for the crowd. It's loud. You don't know what's going on. The back sometimes. It's just, it's sometimes the bars are not built for comedy. And some of the crowd's not there for comedy. So you, it's like that tug of war. And it's just more fun. It's more, you have, it's more natural on stage.
Right.
Than if you're at a club, because then you see some of these comics just so structured at a club show. And they just go to point A to point B. And then you're at the bar. And then you just, you can go anywhere.
Okay.
You know how the bar just reacts to you.
Yeah. So you're more free flowing when bars and doing that environment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just kind of fell in love with that. And that's what makes Winston's kind of like one of the best bar shows in San Diego. Mm. So I do rave about Winston's a lot. So
how many times have you done it? I don't think
I've done it twice actually, twice. But I've seen it a few times.
I remember the last time I booked you, you had to cancel.
I had to cancel. I had no car. Get down.
Yeah.
So
I figured I'd book you because I figured you'd be in town this week. So
I'd be in town. Yeah. I mean, if it's if you ever, you know, by booking me, it's either I got to bring a comic with me or I got to be a very creative of how to, I got to get there kind of thing. So. I remember that last time I got it canceled. I was really bummed out by that too. And then the other time before, I brought Atif and Jeff Peterson down, and then Atif went before me and just annihilated. And so him and Dewey became like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just ate dick. And then Jeff Peterson like ate dick.
Wasn't there like nobody there?
No, it was rowdy. It was packed with people.
Was it?
It was like a reggae band.
Okay.
And I was like, it was just weird. And I was like, all right, whatever. And, no, but I really do think it's one of the better bar shows.
Yeah.
That and Till 2. Till 2 is always fun. But every time I've done Till 2, there's always a band playing after. And nobody cares about the comedy before.
Yeah. I don't think they do that anymore because they do the Sunday open mic and then Tuesday as well. So.
Dude, okay.
Yeah. And so, then they had some special Saturday shows. That's maybe what you did.
I don't remember. There's a show I remember I did where there was, a band playing before and Dallas was headlining. And all of us, nobody could get a laugh because it was just a bunch of hipster kids just
ready for the band.
They were like, get off stage, get the band. And the second the band was playing, they were just loving life.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I mean, oh yeah, Salty Frog too. I guess that's the three best bar shows in
San
Diego.
That's basically all of them.
Is it really? There's others too, right?
Well, have you done Shooters?
I've done Shooters for the open mic
on
Thursday, last Christmas actually.
It was Christmas Day?
Was it last Thursday? Last Christmas, or was last time I was here with my family, I went to Shooters during like the Christmas break, and that was it was weird.
Yeah,
it was weirdly weird. There's a lot of people.
I'm trying to think of the other bar shows that we have.
There's Jimmy's. I heard.
Never done that one.
That's in Poway.
Yeah, they do Ken Club. They have that one.
Dunkin' Club
on like a Thursday.
Yeah, I did that with Austin. Nobody there.
Yeah,
like two people. It's fun, though.
It's a tough sell. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not really getting any walk-in traffic there. The whole area is closed at, like...
It shuts down, yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's like a Leave It to Beaver neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, what was the other... I don't know who runs it, but I live right by it, but JP's in Tierra Santa. I guess someone's doing a show there.
Yeah, I think they do a Sunday show.
A Sunday show there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like once a month, I think.
Okay. Like Randy, I think his name is.
Randy Villarba.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's running the show there. And then there's another Peabody's or something?
Mr. Peabody's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's in like Encinitas.
Okay.
I did that once.
Okay.
By the time I went up, it was like 11. So they were pretty tired. But I think they're doing, because it was a book show before, but now I think it's...
turned into a mic?
Just a mic.
Yeah. Well, mics are always fun, but those are like, I don't know. And then when it comes to the clubs, I got to say, is this the Store and the Madhouse, the two best.
Okay.
And the Palace gets kind of weird. Palace just seems like it's just a, I don't know, that comedy club in the middle of Claremont Mesa. I don't know how to explain
it.
It's just weird office people there just drinking and trying to laugh.
There's a weird group of that. Have you done American Comedy Company?
Done that once when Nick and Dewey were running a show out there.
Okay.
And that was a couple, like 3 years ago.
Did you do their farewell show?
No. Wait. They're done? They're closing?
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about Dewey and...
Oh, no. I thought like ACC's closing. I'm like, what?
No. This just did.
I know. I was like, what? No, I was not part of that. I knew a bunch of people were part of that show, but yeah, that was not...
Did you like the show experience?
At ACC?
Yeah.
No.
What happened?
No, well, I didn't... I like the place. I mean, I like my show experience. I mean, I like performing there.
Right.
But I was thankful for the spot, but just how it's laid out, that's like the worst one, I think.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, the pillars, unless they got rid of the pillars.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because it's a basement, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's set up, I mean, a lot of people like it because it's set up kind of like a New York
kind of underground comedy kind of feel. Yeah, I get that, but like a $9 tall can PBR and pillars, it's just like, it's just too much. It's too expensive for the drinks and the food, and then a lot of obstructed views I'm around stage because I saw a pillar, light, pillar, light.
Yeah, I think it's a little different now, though.
Okay, they might have changed it around.
Yeah. So have you done comedy in other places other than San Diego?
One of my favorite rooms I've done was in Vegas, actually. It was Ainsworth at the Hard Rock.
Ainsworth?
Yeah, which just closed down, I found out. But I did it over the summer, and it was like it's a hookah bar slash bar inside of the Hard Rock hotel.
Okay.
And casino. And it was me and Briggs co-headlining, Stephen Briggs. And
how did you get this gig?
I just knew a shitload of Vegas comics. Okay. And then I knew the booker, you know, Jack Slammy?
No.
Okay. He's a booker out in Vegas. Jeff Peterson and a guy named Dave Carter kept referring to Peterson, book me. And, Slammy just, sent me a message through Facebook finding out I'm going to be there Labor Day weekend and said, hey, do you want to co-headline Ainsworth? I'm like, that'd be great. So I co-headlined the first half.
So were you going out there just for vacation? Do you have another
I was out
show?
There for just vacation.
Okay.
Usually when I go somewhere, I just go there and then I just try to piece it together. Okay. You know, so I first wanted to book a vacation trip and then I can see if I can get any shows. And,
right.
And then Slammy gave me that spot and it was just Labor Day weekend, Vegas. I got up at 11 o'clock and there was like over like 100 people.
At the show?
In this bar, just packed drinking.
Yeah.
And they just all shut up and they started listening, smoking cigarettes, smoking their hookah.
Right.
And it was just an awesome show, awesome experience. And then.
Was that a paid gig?
Paid gig, yeah.
Okay. And put you up in a hotel or no?
No hotel. Okay. Vegas doesn't do that really. I mean, they will do that with certain gigs, I think in Bally's. And, but with Slammy, he just will get you the gig. Get you some money, but you gotta kind of find your own place. But I already found a hotel for free. You know, staying at the Palms.
Okay. How'd you get in for free then?
My old roommate, that's how the vacation started. He just invited me. Hey, you want to go to Vegas? I'm like, it'd be great. Like, I got a free room.
Okay.
Like, cool. All right. Take it. So, that was one of my favorite venues. And then one of the worst venues is probably, in Fresno.
Okay. That's maybe the one that they did. What was the place called that you did?
Oh, God. What was it called? It was some, like, activity room. I forget the name of it.
Okay.
There's a bar. There's a built-in bar in there, but there's, like, two people.
Okay.
It was a book show. We got paid, but the owner was so bummed out paying us.
Well, he was losing money.
Yeah. And, God, I forget the name of it. Fulton 55.
I think that might be the same place they did, because there's... I think it was just outside of Fresno.
Yeah, it's near downtown Fresno, but like in the outskirts.
They said there was a lot of people. It was Jesse and Josh Nelson and Dave Wright. And they said that it was just like 70 just Mexican cholos.
Really?
Yeah. And like you could hear the other room because it's supposed to start at 10. I guess it started at 11. And there was like different rooms that were playing music. So they had to yell into the mic for them to be able to hear anything. And the people were just yelling at them, I heard. So
that's
he said
awkward.
It was pretty rowdy. Yeah.
That's awkward. Yeah, I'd done Fulton 55, and then I'm trying to think of all the other shows. I've done a lot of crappy shows.
Yeah.
Then I've done a lot of great shows.
Vegas the furthest east you've been?
Vegas is the furthest east, I think, right now. Okay. Yeah. Trying to get into Arizona. I know Bay Area people, and I know Arizona people, too.
Okay.
And I know a shitload of Hawaiian comics.
Well,
so.
We gotta go to break. We got more with Ryan Kamel. Come back 3 minutes. We'll be back. WSRadio.com, the worldwide internet talk back.
A podcast or radio show on WS Radio is a great way to create content marketing. Turn prospects into customers into raving fans. Contact Wade at WSRadio.com or call 866-WS-RADIO.
Homeless veterans and their families are suffering and need our support, but many won't ask or don't know that help is within reach. Veterans Community Services is here to help. Amazingly, about 35% of the homeless in our neighborhoods are veterans with families. Low-income veterans or their friends are encouraged to contact Veterans Community Services and reach out for help with housing and other services. Call now, 800-974-9909.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, third segment with Ryan Talmer.
Third.
So I was getting a little to know. I mean, maybe the San Diego comedians could get a little insight. You said that the L.A. scene is kind of broken into different areas.
Different categories. Yeah, different areas, different categories. So I'm the Valley comic. The kids called me the Valley Jesus at one point because I had long, long hair.
Okay.
And I had like a longer beard at the time, too. There's the Valley comics. There's the Hollywood comics that they... Valley comics is to say... pretty much hit up a bunch of bar shows.
Okay.
Because that's what the Valley has to offer. It's just a bunch of bars. A bunch of bar shows in North Hollywood to pretty much to Calabasas. And that's pretty much the Valley.
Okay. And how you can pretty much go up every night of the week in the Valley or?
Pretty much. Sunday through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, pretty much the whole week you can find somewhere in the Valley to get up at.
And pretty decent shows, or
they're bar shows, so it's rowdy people in the bars, just depressed,
right?
Depressed people live in the Valley. Then there's the Hollywood comics. Those are the kids.
Is there a type of comedy that each area does, or type of comedian?
I mean, it's a social class in a way. So a lot of the Valley comics are a little more the middle to lower class comics in a way.
Okay,
they're on a budget, I guess. You know, so their style of comedy is a little different. They do more bar shows, so that's what they do.
Right.
And then, so if you jump into like Hollywood, they have more club shows. That's all the clubs are.
Okay.
So they perform at, the Comedy Store in all three rooms they have there.
Right.
You know, the OR, the Belly, and the Main. And they got the Improv just down the street. And then you got the Laugh Factory just east.
Okay.
Which the Factory is the one place that you got to actually be really good because they don't do open mics there. They do that one shitty open mic every Tuesday.
Yeah, don't you have to like go a week before?
Yeah, I've done it twice when I first started.
Did you get on?
Yeah.
Doesn't Jamie like give you advice or something?
No, he's never there. When I did it, he was never there.
Okay, I saw some movie that he was in and he like gave people advice or said like, you know, buddy, you're not ready. Come back in three months.
There's rumors about like, not rumors, but I mean, he's there, I guess, but he's not always there.
Right.
So, when I've done it, he hasn't been there, and you have to do 3 minutes clean.
Right.
And there's no host. It's just an old man bringing you up.
Right.
And he's sitting down with a microphone.
All right.
That's my experience.
Right.
It's awkward. And nobody was there. If you invite friends, it's like $15 a ticket, 2-drink minimum to watch.
So they really don't even want to watch.
It's awful. It's an awful experience.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird. Just trying to do a 3-minute clean set in front of people that you don't really know because the comics that are doing it just started doing comedy. So it's a really weird mix of veterans to just beginners, I guess.
So how does one get into that club?
You wait. How is one to be like a member pretty much?
Yeah.
Like a regular? He has to pass you. Jamie just needs to pass you.
Okay.
And then you start being in those random shows that they have on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and you'd be an opener. You do 5-6 minutes and just kind of build yourself up. But that's the only club show that actually has almost nightly like headliners coming in performing.
Yeah.
I mean, Dane Cook, I mean, he's, I don't know what he is, but he keeps coming in like every night performing. Dane Cook, TJ Miller, God, there's a few others. Like Dane Cook and TJ Miller are the ones that are always there.
Yeah.
But it's always mixed around. Kevin Nealon does a show out there. Tim Allen does a show out there. So the Store is the only place that is really open to like get everyone up kind of thing.
Right. But there's so many comics. It must be tough.
Oh, it's just more cutthroat over there.
Okay.
So everyone like hangs out at the Store. I don't know. I just can't do that anymore. Just hanging out like every night in the patio, trying to get up, you know, rubbing shoulders with Jeff Garland. I don't know.
Right. Were you ever a rub shoulders kind of guy?
Not really.
No.
No. I mean, for me running the Liquid Zoo, I've had some like actual headliners coming in there that I'm just like, great, okay, you're up in like 10 spots. And I don't really bump people up for what their status is.
Okay.
They just have to go through the
Any situations where people are like, I need to go up now?
Yeah. Well, at the zoo all the time. And so I have a show at the Comedy Store at 11 o'clock. I'm like, do you really have a show at the Comedy Store at 11 o'clock on a Sunday? Like, is anyone going to see you perform at 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
Like, just wait your turn.
So you don't bump them.
Don't try to. There's some people I bump because I'm annoyed.
Right.
Like, just to get them out. But for the most part, it's a first come, first serve. So I just want to be fair to everybody.
Okay.
And so that person has been waiting since 6:30 at the bar to sign up at 8:30. You know, I'm going to get them up.
Right.
So I'm not going to bump them up for a comic that's might bomb for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
And haven't you hosted some shows with like 100 comics on it?
Oh God. Yeah. I did a show where it was at Universal Bar and Grill where I that was by accident too. I put up 100 comics, from 6:30 to 2 a.m.
Okay.
And I'd done it 3 times.
So is this something the bar says, hey, let's do this promo or something?
No.
You thought of this.
I thought of it because I go to Universal to perform almost every Monday if I can and Tuesday. And I'm pretty good friends with the bartender. And the guy that was running the show on Mondays, texted me and said, hey, Ryan, I can't produce a show. I'll be out of town. I'll be in Cleveland. If you want to take the show, do whatever you want. I'm like, great. And I pulled my phone out and it's like, I got to put a show together in less than a week. And I just, texted, hey, I got Universal Bar and Grill on Monday. Who wants to perform? And I just added comedy, you know, and that's all my comedian friends' numbers. And there's over 60 of them. And pretty much all 60 of them said yes. Uh-huh. And so I was like, fuck. So, and I had this problem.
What were you thinking when you sent that out?
I wasn't thinking of anything. I was just, I thought I would get like 10 responses. Like, great, I could do it. Like, awesome, cool, I have a show. And then I was like, I have over 60. I might as well just average it out to 100 and figure it out.
That's a lot. That's almost half of what you're,
yeah.
Almost doubling it.
And so the first show I did, it was just me hosting it. And I don't know how I made it through that, but I did. And I got like 70 some odd comics up. Okay. A lot of them left. Like, I got to go home or I'm too drunk. Because it's like to the point where people are just drinking. And at Universal, there's a special there every Monday and Tuesday. If you're a comedian, you get a free shot of your choice for every beer you buy.
All right.
And all the beer is like $2.50, $2.
Wow.
So everyone's a shit can through these shows all the time. And that, I don't know how I survived that night, but then I decided to do it a second time, and then I got two other hosts to host a show with me, and we got a food truck to come out, and then t-shirts were made. I don't know what happened. Pizzas were brought out. It was just like a huge party.
Okay.
And we got 80-some-odd comics up. And then the third time I did it, I got 102 comics.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and now another comic, Ron Swallow, took over that show, and he's doing it now. And I don't know how he's doing it, but
still 100.
Yeah, he's done it twice now. He got over the first one, he got like 104, and then I think the last one he got like 107 up.
Wow,
doing 3 minute sets. I don't understand. For me, it was by mistake, but it's a cool kind of like networking party.
Mm.
But then you realize that you're only doing 3 minutes, and no one's gonna listen to you,
right?
Because there's just too many people in a bar.
So most of the comics tried to just hang out and stay? Or?
Hang out, just drink, trading numbers. It's the weirdest thing because that's how a lot of gigs started. So people became bonded as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I want you on my show. And then a lot of shows were developed off of that too. So some comics got inspired to do their own shows.
Okay.
And so that's the cool thing. That was like my idea, I guess, overall, is just to bring people together. Because I don't know how it is down here, but it's still like it's cutthroat. Up there,
right.
Where people still bicker and bitch and fight over comedy.
They do that everywhere.
And it's kind of sad.
Comics are terrible people.
We are. So it'd be great if they kind of work together. And
yeah.
So that was like my goal was for them to just to work to get their own gigs, you know, build up and make friends and stop hanging on the corner and waiting for their spot.
Right.
So
that was a success.
It's a success.
That's good.
Of 3 shows, yeah.
Why did you decide to hang it up?
Like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's just tiring. I mean, I do the Liquid Zoo every Sunday, and that's 5 hours of dealing with crap.
Right.
And that's like 45-plus comics. So I might as well just let someone else do it. And they want to keep going with it, which is really weird. I would rather, I don't know. It's weird that I've started 2 different shows in L.A. that people enjoy doing.
Okay.
And then performing on an influence show was the other one I did where comics get fucked up on stage.
Well, don't they do a sober set and then
sober? Yeah, I do a 3 minute sober.
Okay.
And then you have like roughly an hour to, it's evolved from just drinking and smoking weed to acid, shrooms.
Jesus.
Yeah. I have no control of the show anymore. That's why I left it. Acid and shrooms. Yeah, that's the stuff they can do. But comics started doing coke and other crazy shit that I probably don't even know about, like speedballs, I'm pretty sure. And they get back on stage and they're just, it's bananas. It's a crazy show and still going. I retired my spot as producer, back in September.
Okay.
But
still go and do the show?
I come and watch it. I don't perform on it anymore.
Okay.
So, and it's just crazy. It's at the Hollywood Hotel, which they allow the comics to get crazy there. So.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Gus is a cool bartender.
Right.
So he just lets you, and the show has evolved to the point where the comics can bring their own booze in. They just need to sneak it and not show it in front of the cameras.
It's a highly illegal show.
Oh, it's such a great show.
Yeah.
And it packed. The room gets packed. People like to see comics self-destruct.
Try to kill themselves.
Yeah. And some of the comics are really honest people on stage.
Right.
So
when they get drunk.
Yeah. And I'm just surprised that no one's died yet.
Do people get naked?
One comic, no one got naked. Almost, there's a Christmas show I did last year where I was really shit-faced on the eggnog.
Okay.
And I was trying to tell one of the comics, she was wearing a reindeer sweater, and she had like big tits, and I was telling her like, flash everybody. And she was actually really thinking about it. And then, another girl was basically telling everyone to touch her boobs, and then just all the guys vomit a lot. It's such a sad show.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be going to this one.
No, you shouldn't.
That sounds like death.
It is death.
3 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
All right. We got one more segment with Ryan Talman. We're coming back in 3 minutes. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back.
Mm-hmm.
You asked a kind of an interesting question in the break about is there different scenes in San Diego? And I don't think there's different areas. Like, there's not like a downtown area, like El Cajon area or whatever.
El Cajon Comics.
Yeah.
Ramona Comics.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of cliquey. I think that most people kind of just do like, either the Comedy Store or the Palace, you know, or like you said, like the Salty Frog crew,
yeah,
you know, Shooters, Winston's. But I wouldn't say it's really area driven. I think it's just more the comics who like that group go to those shows.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I see that. Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're a smaller city too anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still a shitload of you guys now.
Right.
I just remember it was just a handful of you. You know, when I first started, it was a tight knit group, and then it just started exploding more and more people.
Yeah, I mean, I think the American Comedy Company is the main reason. I don't want to say to blame, but I think that's the main reason that there's so many comics, because they get big name headliners at the shows on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that spawned a lot more, probably hobby type comics.
Inspire them to like, oh, I can give this a shot. I'm funny. Okay.
Because there's a lot, I don't do their open mic anymore, but I used to, and like, there would be comics that just do that open mic.
Oh, God.
You know, because there's normally like 60 people in the crowd on.
Yeah, on they come Tuesdays. Out for that. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I think they're moving it to Wednesdays, but yeah, so there's just comics that do that. And then they think that comedy's a lot easier than it really is, you know.
Cause, that's depressing.
Right.
Look at me. Look at me. Lost my car.
Yeah. You made it.
I made it.
Things are going well.
Falling apart.
So were you a fan of comedy growing up?
Yeah, but more in the filmmaking wise. Okay. I mean, I watched a lot of stand-up as a kid. I watched a lot of Carlin. I mean, my dad watched it. My brother watched it. And so it was Carlin, Cosby. Watched a lot of Cosby. Watched Hicks as a kid, too, because that would pop up on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that. But I was more into the filmmaking world of it. So it was like the Marx Brothers, Woody Allen.
Okay.
Charlie Chaplin.
So what are you doing with that now? Do you have a day job that you do filmmaking?
Work at a deli.
Okay.
Work at a deli. No, I, you know, filmmaking was my ideal. That's what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I, you know, I dabbled into porn for like a minute. And that didn't really...
Starring or...?
No, just editing.
Okay.
I really just break down...
How was that? This felt creepy.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It was a building in Chatsworth.
Right.
It's like a warehouse right behind a Black Angus.
All right.
You would not even know it's a porn facility.
Right.
Because nothing was labeled.
Did they shoot porn on the site?
They shoot porn in that office building too, yeah.
Okay.
And
how'd you find that gig?
I had a friend from college that he moved out there, and he was working at a tennis channel, just basically flipping switches, and he needed another job. And his one of his buddies started working at Penthouse, told him to get the job. Because it's a good pay. It's like $17 an hour.
Wow.
Just to edit. And he got that job. And then I lost my job from working at Pat and Oscar's. And because I was actually running two restaurants up in Los Angeles at the time, in Torrance and Glendale. And he said, Ryan, this is perfect for you. Get you into the filmmaking world. Not really right. The world I wanted to do, but it's like a step in. And the interview was kind of weird because the guy that was running it is a huge Tim Burton fan.
Okay.
He was wearing like a Jack Skeleton hat.
All right.
And had like a Beetlejuice jacket. Like it was just weird. The whole thing was weird. And he was asking me if I knew Avid and Final Cut. And I was like, yeah. I was like, great. Perfect. You're in.
Did you know it was a porn shoot?
I knew it was a porn thing.
All right.
And then my job was pretty much looking for logos and eventually going to dick shots. But my first part was looking for logos. So if I see like McDonald's, or Kmart, whatever, anything like a corporate logo, take it out, you know, or block it.
Are in like the scenes?
In the scenes.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of outdoor scenes.
Okay.
They film all across the valley that you'll see like a coffee bean in the corner or like a McDonald's, and you have to take that shit out.
Right.
So.
Did it ruin porn for you?
Yeah. It really is like if you worked at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And you see the lights up at Space Mountain. It's just not the same anymore.
Yeah.
So,
well, especially when you have to stare at it all day long.
All day long, 8 hours. And it was it was weird. Black Angus was like the place to go to after work. Like, okay, let's go to Black Angus for a beer.
Right.
It's so sad. It's just not what I expected. And, just dabble in that. And now I just work at a deli. Been working at the deli for.
So did you get fired from that job or did
no,
you quit?
No, I just quit. Just worked at, it's not that long. I worked there.
Okay.
Like a week. It was really like it was just not for me. And they have a big turnover there.
Okay.
So they're always hiring someone.
All right.
So because it's a hard job, it really is, unless you're really into porn and you like it a lot.
Right.
So I like it, just can't quite
stare at it 3 hours a day and then go eat at Black Angus,
and then drive home and just like
cry,
cry because it's more depressing than comedy.
Yeah.
So, and then the deli where I work at now is just, it's a really good deli because they let me do what I do. It's a 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
And it's right off the Metro Red Line, so it's easy for me to get there from home to work and whatnot, and it's near a few of the comedy clubs.
That's good.
And so they support me in a way. They understand what I'm doing.
Right.
And so it's not one of those jobs, it's like, you gotta stop doing your comedy thing and pay attention to your day job or whatever it is.
So do you exclusively just work in meat?
Yep.
Just deli, porn.
Nope.
What was it? Pat and Oscar's. It has to have meat involved for Ryan.
Kind
Keller
of, yeah.
I got the job.
Ribs and chicken at Pat and Oscar's. Yeah. And then going to, I guess all the dicks.
It's got to have sausage if you want Talmo.
God. So sad.
Well, we are coming up towards the end. Standard last couple of questions.
Yeah.
What's the worst show you've ever done?
Worst show ever done. It was actually at the ESPN Zone in Anaheim, and I had to actually perform in front of 250 employees for Disney.
Okay.
Restaurant people. We're for the restaurants there.
Right.
And I,
how long into comedy had you been?
This was not that long ago. This was like 8 months ago.
Okay.
So, and, I had to do 30 minutes clean.
Okay.
And I was like, great. You know, and I was getting paid for the gig and everything. The guy paid me right in the beginning, which he shouldn't have.
Right.
I should have left for that check. And he gave me no introduction. I was in a huge game room. And basically, this is my introduction pretty much. He just had a wireless mic and he said, everybody, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. I have a surprise for you.
So they weren't there for a comedy show.
No, not at all. Oh. They're there to have fun playing video games.
Okay.
So they all stopped playing video games because it was in the big game room.
Yeah.
And they all had to sit down. All their fun was taken away at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they were drinking. And I had to do clean set. And he just basically said, we have a comedian from Los Angeles.
How did you get this gig?
A friend of mine told me about it. They were looking for a comic.
Okay.
Because she was friends with this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'll do it. And he just said, you have not seen this comic on The Tonight Show or Conan, but you might have seen him at the Comedy Store. That was my introduction.
Okay.
And then he forgot my name. He was looking through the paper, and he found my name.
And you were the only comic on the
show? There's nobody else.
Okay.
There's no stupid dog tricks or anything. It was just me. And then he gave me the mic, and there was a wireless mic, and the mic dipped the second I stepped away from the bar.
Okay.
And he's like, no, you got to stand right there. And then I couldn't do crowd work. No one wanted to listen to me. Everyone went back to their video games. I did 17 minutes on Guy Fieri, and I stopped.
Oh, you didn't get to the light?
I couldn't. It's too hard.
Quickly, what's the best show you've ever done?
Best show ever done was probably when I opened up for Chris Kattan at Lovitz.
Okay.
And it was like a sold out, almost like 300 people, all three decks.
And how'd you get that?
Sadly, a Big Mike show. But okay. Big Mike put me up front of Chris Kattan.
All right.
And it was just one of my best sets in a long time. They listened, they loved it, and they ate it up. And I did roughly 9-10 minutes, I think.
Right.
Mike usually gives us 5.
Yeah.
So it gave me a lot more time.
Because there was more people?
More people,
Did you draw a lot of those people?
I drew 5 people.
Okay.
And he was happy about it anyways.
Yeah.
So he gave me like 10 minutes. It was great. So sadly, I put a Big Mike show there, but that was one of my better sets.
Right. Well, coming to the end, are you a Twitter guy?
Not really. I have a Twitter.
Okay.
Well, I don't tweet as much.
So where can they find you?
Facebook, sadly.
Yeah? How many status updates during this podcast?
None.
Whoa, my God. Breaking ground.
Oh, that's so sad.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. We'll see you
thank
next
you.
Time
Appreciate
you come
it.
Down.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan Talmo, ladies and gentlemen. Check him out on Facebook and in the Valley.
In the Valley.
The Jesus
Fernando.
Of the Valley. So that is all. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Comics.com. Bye.